Seven nights in hell is what it is, what it do. Since Bobby Ingram, Curtis Ennis, know that we've been loyal even when we wasn't winning. A trusted source for the news. Seven ninth and Hallis fans, we are back. We are live. It is episode 205. I did not mean to rhyme with that, but we are here. Scott and Flo's. We lost twice in four days. Well, they lost.
They lost twice.
Man. See, look, I corrected myself. Them niggas lost twice in 4 days, man. We're here. I'm in LA. Joe's in Chicago, per usual. We got a lot of stuff to get into today. A lot of stuff to get into. Bears lost a tough one on Sunday to the Minnesota Vikings. Lost another one last night to the Commanders, 12-7. I forgot the score of Sunday's game, but you were at both games. What's your initial reaction just so far? By the way, before I get to that, for anybody who's new and watching us right now, you know to follow us on Twitter at Barbershair Scott, at Flo's Annalini. Follow the Barbershair Network at BarbershairNet. Follow this podcast, 79th at 79th AND Hallis on Twitter. Visit thebcnet.com. Everything we got on there coming up. We got some 79th and Hallis merch dropping soon on the site before the end of the year. So look out for that. Patreon.com/Barbershair Network. You can check out Joe's on-field video from last night. Check that out. New summer sessions is up. New cinema with the guys. And then we'll be back doing the preview pods after this little mini bot. So, yeah, let's just get right into it, man. Let's just get right into it. How you feel after these? You've been moving around a lot over these last couple of days.
Yeah, I'm exhausted.
Back full-time in the beat. How you feeling?
Exhausted. Full-time job. Back in the beat. I'm not back, but just, you know, getting to my routine. I'm tired. This is just really what it is. Just tired. Not being able to just take a rest and then having to watch crap or trash football. It's annoying. But I'm not really shocked. This is what happens, you know, we were talking about this is what happens when you invest solely into the defense. And of course you can say, yeah, he had Doug Kramer as a center in offense, Braxton Jones, Valus Jones, but how many of them, where is the impact coming from? Braxton Jones was a turnstile, was getting beat up every single play. It was annoying. It was annoying seeing what I saw on the field. And it didn't make it any better that it didn't seem to be any adaptation coming from Getsy and Flus. So, you know, going back to, you know, Braxton Jones, the turnstile, Sam Mustapha, somehow Sam Mustapha is still starting. I'm not getting, you know, Luke Packard, the rushback, Cody White here, put Riley Reef at guard, put Lucas Patrick at center in his natural position. But you have all that. Your wide receivers are not catching passes. You know, for all that Dante Pettis did, he missed the ball when it counted. You can say, yeah, he got pass interference, but the ball hit him in his hands. The ball hit him in his hands. And Darnell Mooney, who's not a number one, is called to get a jump ball, and he's 5'11". Probably shorter than that. When he was out there in cleats walking, and remember last year interviewing him in cleats outside of the locker room, I was like, Nick, I'm taller than you. So this is clearly not someone who's taller. He's your number one receiver. Actually get a jump ball. Perfectly placed ball because this was coming out of shotgun. This was coming out of under center, not shotgun. So Justin just can't snap and turn. Justin has to drop back, then turn. And so Justin has to make that a jump ball, especially where the defender is at. Put in a good place, and it still was not converted. It's appalling. It's appalling what we're watching. But at the same time, this is what happens when you go all in on defense. And you can say, oh, man, defense look good, held them under 100 yards. I'm like, that's fine. But when it mattered most, you ain't do it. You know what I'm saying? When it matters most, you gave up a long drive and to a team that averages under 90 yards rushing a game. They're not a good team. A team you should have summarily beat. And this is what you got. Valus Jones, 25-year-old rookie, can't field punts when all he did in his main specialty at Tennessee was returning. And he looks terrified on the ball. I've never seen somebody muff two punts in 3 weeks.
Yeah,
he looks terrified getting the ball. I thought, well, I'm like, what are you doing? the game was essentially lost 2 weeks in a row because of a muff punt. And now you got to get to Tristan Ebner to be the returner, and he may have a solidly can catch the ball, but he ain't a good returner.
Nope.
So now the Bears in a mess of their own making. And then, you know, there's a lack of complimentary football. You know, that's cool with the hits mentality and all that, but where's the complimentary football? You have a Justin Fields run for about, 50 yards to get you to the 6-yard line. You got 45 seconds left. Now, of course, some people would think, well, you know, you don't have time to move it. All of those are going to be passes outside of one. You see them with wide splits, run the ball. If there's anyone who's special at that, David Montgomery. Sit yourself in shotgun, let David Montgomery take the ball up. Maybe he'll get you a couple more yards. And then the most that will take is 15 seconds. You have 30 left to throw passes into the end zone. You're not going to miss any time. You got 3 other chances, and you're not going to miss any time. Why not get a runoff? Okay, you're not going to run. What's the goal here? We're going to sit back in the pocket. No pocket manipulation. And what I mean by that is a rollout. Even a stretch play with a running back, if you're going to run it, bootlegging, jet sweep, something to get yourself out of the main position you stay in from just dropping back. 3-step drop, sit down there, find it. This is the end zone. It's the most crowded place on the field. You can drop back when you're at your own 40. You got 60 more yards to cover. Same as when you're at your own 20, or even when you're at their 20, it's still some space in there. But when you're in the end zone, man, that's a 10-yard lengthwise to try and cover. And that's tough for any team in a situation to try to find somebody. That's why you manipulate the pocket. You're moving around. You let people leak out. And then top it all off, you have Bears fans who you just don't know ball. You know? And the thing is like yesterday during the press conference, Pat Finley asked a really good question. Do you think Justin took a step back or step forward?
Shout out to Pat.
Simple question. Not biased. No agenda. And he was clear. He said, yeah. So I was like, you think he took a step forward afterwards? I'm like, what are we doing? We're professionals here. We're really approaching with that tone. And then you have to see him stubble. Well, say what you said. Stand on it. He said, yes. Simple as that. And I think Bears fans have to understand that some of you all just don't understand the game.
No.
Some of you all don't understand the game. A lot of you do. A lot of you have good analysts, good analysis. But I remember looking at the Ryan Griffin missed touchdown. And I said, ooh, Ryan Griffin kind of stopped in his route there. Somebody commented, you're really going to blend in on Ryan Griffin? I was like, well, here's the thing. I'm in a press box. I can see the whole play unfold. It's the same thing if you would be at Soldier Field from the stands. Yeah. You would see the whole play unfold.
Right.
And I believe it was Herb Howard of the Bigs who said they're going to go to Griffin or they're going to the right side. So my eyes were that way. And I said, why did he just look back? That's typically stick your foot in the ground, go, then look back. He looked back the whole time. Now, of course, a good quarterback can adjust to that. A young quarterback who hasn't played a full season of games yet, I'm not shocked that he couldn't. So he doesn't adjust to it, and he throws to where he's supposed to be. And Ryan Griffin, who looks like he's running in lug boots, didn't work out. So, yeah, Cole Kmet, pass intended from Justin, would have been 6. In that situation, when I asked Matt Eberflus, I'm like, is that a mechanic issue? He said, no. Justin was trying to fit the pass, and he saw them pressuring the line, and he's manipulating his arm. Unfortunately, it hit off his head. He was trying to get the ball low and away so Cole Kmet could make a closer catch toward the ground. That way, the DB draping him wouldn't get it. It's a good decision. It happens. If it's one thing you notice, batted balls are happening a lot more in the league. Aaron Rodgers against the Giants in London happened twice in one drive, and you know Aaron Rodgers knows how to get the ball over the offensive line, defensive and offensive line. That's what he does. It happens. Defensive linemen, more so than ever before, are trying to get your hands up when you see him moving. And so quarterbacks have to learn to manipulate. But you can avoid that by manipulating the pocket as an offensive coordinator. And I think what has worried me the most, because I still think Justin had a fine game. Nothing made me panic. Nothing. First half, I'm like, yeah, you had a couple drops, interception that wasn't on him. Oh, well, move on.
The one on Griffin is, the more I looked at it, and Keyshawn Johnson pointed out this morning, too, that was on Griffin. He stopped running.
Yeah, simple as that. Darnell Mooney, even on that last second catch, he ran a short route. Darnell Mooney is supposed to be in the end zone, not sitting near the pylon line, in the end zone fully. That is a one read. Your best player, get up and grab it. And Darnell Mooney was running a shorter route. As he's kind of done that often. But I didn't have an issue. The only thing that bothers me is when you ask Justin, you have any say-so in the plays? And he was like, no, sir, that's not my job. That's a problem. It should be a part of his job. A coach in your offensive coordinator, you should be including Justin Fields in your office. Not this is what we're going to do. What do you think about this? I remember Tim Tebow, his first year with the Broncos, runs up and tells the coach, there's only one person who gets the ball. One person who gets the ball. Told his coach, nigga, I'm taking the ball. And the coach couldn't do nothing because at the end of the day, the coach ain't on the field. If a player wants the ball, they're going to take it. So why not be complimentary? And I'm going to always go back to John Harbaugh because I think his handling of Lamar Jackson has been one of the greatest achievements a coach has ever made.
Yeah, they started from scratch with something, with a new playbook.
You got to stop trying to fit these players into your mold because there's not really a mold for a quarterback anymore. Lamar Jackson, Josh Allen, Pat Mahomes, it's gone. There is no more mold. The mechanics of Josh Allen are not natural to what you're not traditional, but he explodes with that. I'm still talking, nigga. Shut up.
Go ahead.
If you told him to correct his passing motion, he would hurt himself. And so there is no prototypical way to handle a quarterback. Adapt. And so first year head coach, Flus, I'm underwhelmed. First year GM, Ryan Poles, I'm underwhelmed. And that's okay. Bears fans, we don't have to be in a rush to be critical. We don't have to be in a rush to be praiseworthy. With Justin, you don't have to praise him every step. You also have to criticize him every step. I think we're afraid because with Mitch, we babied Mitch's fans. Oh, Mitch is going to get there. Mitch is going to get there. Mitch, okay.
They babied Mitch's fans.
Sky babied him sometimes, too.
I never babied that nigga.
You lucky your old tweets don't exist no more because, nigga, yeah, I know
what,
you did.
What Future say? Never happened.
People like, oh, he's showing signs. Especially when Mitch throws a six TD game. Air quotes. But he has that. You think, oh, he's going to be great. So, yeah, we babied him because we thought we saw potential. You see, the Steelers, there wasn't nothing there. So Bears fans now don't want to do that anymore. Let's not baby him. Let's just be critical. You don't have to. You can just let it play out. And the game, two games before, like the one before the Vikings or the one before that, we do those two picks. He looked awful. I started thinking he's trash. He's trash. It's not going to work. No, that was honest thoughts. And that was fair criticism because he looked terrible. You go to Minnesota, that second half when he's almost perfect, you're like, okay, that's what he can do. And you come today where it was 14 to 27. You counted for five drops. You're accounting for an interception. You're accounting, I think he had three missed passes where a player was open. And, you know, you take all this into account, you say, it was an okay game. I'm not sure it's a step forward, but it's certainly not a step back. That's even in balance. And we can do that because he has not played a full season of games yet. Give him time. Josh Allen took time, and look at him now. He's incredible.
Yeah.
Am I saying he'll be that? Oh, I'm just saying give him time.
So after 15 minutes, I finally can talk. By the way, shout out to everybody in the chat room. Shout out to Jaleel, Debbie in the chat room. They say O-line, wide receiver, are booty cheeks. That's correct. Ebner's trash as well. That is also correct. Justin, too talented. They got to make the playbook to fit his skills. Richard Sherman called Gessie all night. And shout out to Debbie. That's what I was going to say. The national media is starting to pick up on this shit, too. Like, I watched at the end of the game yesterday, and Richard Sherman was mad like he was last week. He said this shit at halftime, and he said it again. in a post game. He said, I don't understand why they're not running RPO. Why they're not fixing the offense to Justin's strengths. He said, it's like Lou Getsy wakes up in the middle and wakes up in the middle of the night and said, I'm going to have my young quarterback who's already having troubles have to overcome my playbook. He said, he shouldn't have to overcome anything. He said, you look at the overthrows. That's not on him. It's because he's in the fucking pocket. He said, you look at how the linebacker was able to get him on some of these plays. It's because he's not in the pocket. He said, move around. Run the ball. He said, he runs a 4.4. Run him out the ball. Get him RPO. I don't understand why they're not doing that more. Scott Van Pelt said the same fucking thing. He's like, at the end of the day, we can't really even evaluate Justin Fields because with the Bears, what type of situation he's putting in. No quarterback is going to succeed in that situation. And then David Kaplan said the same thing. You know, Cap was like, I think this kid is going to be great if he don't get murdered. The way that it's set up right now, he's going to die. The way they got it all set up. And to me, watching these two games, like I came out of the Viking game, I wasn't upset because to me, that was a good loss. And what I mean by a good loss was Justin looked good and you still lost so you can get a high draft pick. This game pissed me off for two reasons. One, even though we lost that game, we're still a better team than the fucking Commanders. Like, honestly, that touchdown they scored, they gift wrapped to them because of the fumble. And it's like that the defense did good. Like, defense had one drive where they got drove on, but they still didn't allow a touchdown. Defense had a good game yesterday.
Kyler Gordon, really good game.
Kyler Gordon has been building the last 2 weeks.
Jalen Johnson there, nigga, made him. He could do a lot more.
Jalen Johnson is a top 10 corner in this league. I want to say top 5, but I might be putting too much dip on my chip. But at the worst, he's a top 10 corner in this league. They don't even be throwing this nigga away. And there was two bullshit pass interference calls on Jalen and on Kyler Gordon. That was terrible. The secondary, when healthy, is going to be good. Eddie Jackson is out here tackling. He's out here tackling. That was his Achilles heel.
It's so much different when you got an actual strong safety with you.
Yeah, exactly. And that's why I had to apologize to Amos a couple weeks ago because I didn't know what we had just on the strong safety side. And Eddie had to play out of position for 2 years. And on top of that, dealing with all the personal stuff that we had no idea what he was dealing with. Yeah. That was the first time I saw a legit pass rush last night. You know what I'm saying? Now, it might have just been from Jaquan Brisker has a jump off the page type of play weekly now.
Yeah.
That pick, I don't regret none. And honestly, I think Kyler's gonna be good. You should have went George Pickens.
Yeah, I don't regret Jaquan because clearly Jaquan was the first round talent that dropped.
We're gonna look at this a couple years.
If you went George Pickens, then Jaquan Brisker, I don't think me or Scott would be upset. We'd be like, okay, Jaquan Brisker, that's a good pick. Yeah. George Pickens, that's a good pick. Oh, Jaquan, he's still up here. That's a good pick. Jaquan is clearly should have been picked first. I mean, should have been picked in the first.
Now, correct me if I'm wrong. Was Pickett still on the board when Vilas got drafted? Yes. Okay, so then you could have had Kyler Brisker.
Let's double check that, though. I always want to be as accurate as I can.
Yeah, let's double check that because if we did, there's no excuse. There's no excuse whatsoever.
George Pickens was drafted. No, he was around then when Kyler was about to get drafted. He was drafted in the second round. Pick 52, so he was near Kyler, not Jaquan, not Velus.
Okay. So he was drafted before Brisker?
Yeah.
Okay. All right, there were still other receivers that was available. But this is the thing that pissed me off. It wasn't a loss. It wasn't a game. I don't care about them. We said this in preseason. And by the way, a lot of Bears fans, a lot of fans of this podcast owe me an apology. You know, people, y'all got on my ass. When I said early on, when the Ogunjobi signing got fucked up, I'm like, it's not good for a GM to not know the details of physicals for him to be failing that shit. Boy, everybody cussed me out. He's not like Ryan Pace. You got to give him a shot. And by the way, I never said he was Ryan Pace. I'm not saying he's Ryan Pace now. I'm just saying I saw alarming stuff at the beginning of his tenure. I saw alarming stuff at the draft. This is the stuff that we're saying now that we see how this team is playing with guys like Dante Pettis and stuff like that. No, we said before the draft, George Pickens was on our wide receiver list. What did I do when Kyler Gordon got drafted? I got the fuck up from the draft table, and I went and took a fucking walk in the Caesars Forum because I couldn't believe they drafted a fucking defensive player when you got this young quarterback. So my worry is that this is a system that Justin's going to, that they're going to destroy Justin. Like, where is, Like, who can, like, I don't, like, I'm going to give a prime example. You see what's happening to Matt Stafford and with the Rams, G. He's got sacked 25 times, most by any quarterback in the league. And he has actual weapons. And honestly, his offensive linemen are still on paper better than the Bears' offensive linemen.
Yeah.
So if Matt Stafford, who is miles better than Justin Fields at this point in his career, obviously, he knows McVay's offense like the back of his head. He can't run it because he's getting tackled. So if this dude can't do it, what you expect Justin to do in a new offense? And it's another bad thing. And I'm not here to – Luke Getsy is rookie offense coordinator. He's going to go through his offense, through his ups and downs. But this is the problem I have. Why are you hiring a rookie offensive coordinator to go with your really rookie quarterback? Now you have double growing pains. And it's just like, I don't know what is the plan. Like, what is the plan going forward to make this dude grow? Because the talent is there. Like, we saw them with throws. Yep. That type of stuff is why I can't, you know, give up on him. And here's something that Brooke Pryor on Get Up said this morning. She said she has a lot of faith in Justin Fields. She said the Bears drafting Justin Fields is like when you purchase a BMW in Pittsburgh in March and you drive it off the lot and you hit it straight into a pothole. He said, if you don't take care of it, this car is going to end up on cinder blocks. That's a perfect example. It's great that, like, you have – this is the most talented quarterback the Bears have had. I mean, Jay was talented, but this dude was – he's been talked about since he was in high school. And this is – and the fucked up shit about it as a Bears, so I know you feel the same way. I get terrified when a Bears quarterback throws the ball. I get terrified when it's third down. Because we never seen this stuff go right for us,
yeah,
ever. So this is going from top down. So basically, my whole thing, long story short, what's the plan?
Yeah,
what is Poles plan?
I don't know his plan. It seems like it went Jaquan Brisker and Kyler Gordon are our day one starters. Now it's just time to get some depth on the roster. And if you drafted Braxton Jones, Doug Kramer, Valus Jones to be Dominique Robinson to be depth, that's fine, I guess, because sometimes it's hard to find bona fide starters past the third round. But, of course, we've seen it happen before. So I'm okay if that was the plan. But the problem is, why was it the plan? I mean, yeah, because David Montgomery's a third-round pick, so – why was it the plan? Why wasn't your plan get my young QB some receivers first and foremost? Why do you need to fix the defense first?
Yeah.
You gutted it already.
Exactly.
Take your time. It may be tough. You may give up a lot of touchdowns. Are you expecting to win this season? No. Like, as a head coach right now, if I was a GM, I wouldn't be concerned with the wins and losses. Now, of course, that seems antithetical to what you normally see in a head coach and someone who's in professional football. You always got to care about the wins and losses. Really, though?
You got a locker room in there. They're going to turn on you if you don't care about the wins and losses. You know, you
and I'm not saying we'll go out and do bullshit. No, do your job. Prepare. Play these games. Try to win. Do everything in your power. But from an executive standpoint, I'm not going to judge my coach based on how many games they're going to win. Especially if you're analytical, I would think this team's winning five games, if that. You know what I'm saying? They're going to have – them winning six even seems like a stretch of times right now.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? They ain't better than the Lions.
And here's the question, and shout out my homie Mike.
Worst team in the NFC North.
I got an even bigger question for you. Shout out my man Mike. He was at the game too. He thinks that this team is the worst team in football.
Could be.
And I didn't have a solid argument to get to rebuttal.
Could be.
You know what I'm saying? Like, it's just bad. And look at the schedule. When is the next win? Like, of course they're not going to go.
None of them look like wins.
Like, of course, I don't think they're going to go the rest. They're not going to go. How many more games they got left? They had six. They played six games.
Nine.
So they've got nine. 11. No, you got 11 more. So I don't think they're going to go on 11. But you can't look at that list and definitively say this is a win. Because the Giants in this game were supposed to be the wins. Those were supposed to be the two that you got right there. Now it's supposed to be your four wins. You're going to lose to the Patriots next week.
Yeah.
I don't give a damn who they start in the quarterback. You give Bill Belichick 11 days to scheme, bye.
Yeah.
On the road, and it's going to be another national TV embarrassment. Then after that, you got the Cowboys. It don't matter who it is, Cooper or Dak, and that defense is great.
They're gonna smoke you.
Ezekiel Elliott, they can't, the fucking Bears can't guard nothing on the run game.
They don't know what to do with the inside zone.
So they're gonna get run on in that one. Then you got the Miami Dolphins. Tua should be back by then. Even if it's not, you tell me Teddy Bridgewater can't beat these niggas? He can beat them. He Jalen Waddle, Tyreek Hill, they're gonna get busy. The Lions come to town. That's a lot. Like you just keep going further and further.
Right? I wouldn't be shocked if they lost every game of the season.
And here's the thing. It's not like the Bears have one hole. They have multiple holes.
They have a terrible defensive line. They have a terrible offensive line. They have a terrible linebacking core.
They have no wide receivers.
They have a terrible skill group.
Yeah.
So what's the strength? Your cornerbacks.
So here's the thing.
It's two players.
I think that we should trade. I think they should trade Roquan Smith.
Yeah.
And this only has half to do with me feeling he's just not a game-changing linebacker. I think he's a really good linebacker. You know, somebody tweeted out, yeah, he leads the NFL tackles. Okay, cool. Where's the splash plays? Like, you don't know when Roquan's on the field a lot of times.
Nope.
You know when Fred Warner's on the field. You know when Bobby Wagner's on the field. You know when Shaq Leonard is on the field. You know what I'm saying? So that's the difference. If you're going to be paying this guy, he's going to set the market because, once again, it's not about the player. It's about the market when it comes to these contracts. He's going to set the market. So if you're going to pay him to be the highest paid linebacker in the league, you need to make some splash plays. But you got so many other holes on this team. Trade him and get some picks back so you can fill those other holes up. And the other thing, they should have traded Robert Quinn when he had some value, because I be forgetting he on the damn team now.
Mm-hmm.
And I love Robert Quinn. Cool dude. Every time I see him at the facility, he's cool to me. Love Robert Quinn. But what the fuck, dog? Like, it's looking like the year before last.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And so they need to figure out ways. And, like, let's just say the Bears are going to have a top three pick. They're going to have a top three pick. So here's the question. Do you go offensive line or do you go wide receiver? That's a legit tough
offensive
question.
Offensive line.
I'm with you.
You got Jaxon Smith-Njigba, but because he's been injured this year, he still can go first round. Don't get it wrong. They probably still will. But I want a lineman. You got to protect your quarterback. My choices would probably be offensive lineman, receiver, receiver, offensive lineman. Now, offensive lineman, receiver, offensive lineman. Because let's think about it. So you have – who do I think will remain with the team? Cody Whitehair, solid guard. When he's healthy, he's going nowhere. Your center position. Will Lucas Patrick end up being good at center? I hope. So if he does, you have two linemen who I'm settled on. Outside of that, I'm not settled on anybody else. That's three other linemen. So what's your best? You need to get a good tackle. Get a great tackle. Yeah. You get a great tackle, you have three offensive linemen and a whole side of the line that you know is rock solid. You can work with that. Then go receiver. I'm not really too high on this receiving core for this year. I think the year after, when wide receiver 88 Jr. Comes out,
yeah,
it'll be better. Nice. It'll be better. I'm not too high on this year. I thought last year had a lot of wide receivers. This year, I'm not too settled on it.
But that's the thing too, because the free agent list ain't nice. There's a lot of mid. A lot of
no.
Now here's a question, and we were talking about this too. Like,
but in the offseason, you picked up Dante Pettis and Ekwemendi St. Brown,
bro. And I still think EQ got a little juice in him, but whatever. He's still not a top
guy. I think EQ can be a number four, you know. If you had two a bona fide number one and number two, I think he can find himself find himself the ball. The problem is his separation is
everybody on his team separate. And then Mike hit me yesterday after the game. He said, I finally know what you and Flo's be talking about. He said, from that high up, you can see these wide receivers don't be getting open. I'm like, gee, we've been saying this. They don't get open, G. Like, they really don't. And that's why, like, screenshot Twitter pisses me off. Like, that Dave Montgomery shit yesterday. Like, bro, this is not Madden. It's like his fifth option, bro.
I don't know if people understand. You only get to your fifth option when you have, like, 6 seconds of time in the pocket.
Bro.
It's 2022. You don't get that. On top of that, one read is one read. Two, three, four. Five, you don't get the type of time in the league.
And his number one read was open. So it's like,
It's Why am I going to waste time looking back towards Darnell Mooney, especially when I can't even see him because I'm running a three-step drop. My eyes are this way. David Montgomery's behind me. Do I have eyes in the back of my head? Just stupid. So there it's.
But here's a question I have for you, though. So David Kaplan says something needs to change over these 11 days. I was like, I don't know what the hell's going to change, but would you trade a fifth rounder to the Panthers for DJ Moore?
Yeah.
I would do it. I would do it because you have to do something. And I'm not too high on DJ Moore.
Here's the changes that I would make. I would start looking at suitors for Roquan.
Then right now, at the deadline.
I would seek to trade him immediately.
Yeah, I'm with you.
As much, and I think Roquan will be great on the team, but there's no reason to hold on to him. You need players. With that, what if we get a receiver, maybe an offensive lineman, maybe you get yourself a guard. Find something. Trade him. Second, Sam Mustipher would be benched, and I wouldn't start him again. Lucas Packer's going to have to play center. Put a cast on. Snap. In addition to that, I would probably try Dante Pettis at returning. Dante Pettis has enough speed. Get him return. Treston Ebner is not it. Velus Jones is shaking in his boots right now. Try Dante Pettis at receiving. But if you can't get it, you're going to have to try it out N'Keal Harry and Darnell Mooney are your number one and number two.
If
N'Keal Harry couldn't make it with the Patriots, I don't have high hopes.
N'Keal Harry couldn't make it with the greatest quarterback of all time. I am not holding my breath for him to make it with Justin Fields. And that is peak. And I'm going to be real. Even if N'Keal Harry plays well, I am very much a process over results guy. Because that would be some Elvis Andrews shit with the White Sox. I don't give a damn how great N'Keal Harry plays.
Did N'Keal Harry play with Tom Brady?
Yeah, the last year.
Last year.
And also, Debbie said Roquan is step too late. Yeah, Roquan has been looking real slow. There's no reason he should have got trucked by fucking Carson Wentz.
Yeah, he got locked. He got pancaked.
And speaking of Carson Wentz, has there been any quarterback who had a bigger fall off than him? He was an MVP candidate.
He looks incredible towards that ACL. Year. Nah, he looks awful.
This nigga is one of the worst quarterbacks in the league. Like, top two. Like, is one of the worst starting quarterbacks in the league. It don't make no sense. But, yeah, I would trade Walker on the deadline. I would do some NBA type shit. Because you don't really see that many deadline deals in the NFL.
Nope. Which is why I'm not holding my breath. I'm just talking.
Yeah, of course not. But look what the Panthers are selling assets like Michael Jackson. They done already fired Matt Rhule. You know what I'm saying? I think they're trying to position themselves to get Sean Payton out of that booth so he can be GM and coach. I would say, look, fifth rounder. And then somebody said, oh, well, that's not enough. And I forgot what Charles Watson. He's like, man, Randy Moss went for a fifth rounder. DJ Moore go for a fucking fifth rounder. So you can get that. And I think DJ Moore is probably in the same level as Darnell Mooney. But if you have two of them. Right, exactly. You have two of them.
If we cloned Darnell Mooney and there were two Darnell Mooneys, I would be okay with that.
Right, exactly. And the one thing I will say, I'm going to give Komet a little love. He's been getting open these last two games.
Yeah.
Justin got to hit him, and also Getsy has got to scheme him more. Yeah. Like, Getsy don't be, you know, it's like Getsy had a really good first half calling plays. Second half, I don't know what the hell he's doing. When Justin made that big run that could have won, that almost won the game, four downs, you don't do one run play. Like, do one, at least one. If that don't work, whatever. And I don't know if you're peeping this. Maybe this is just my, you know, keep my third eye open. I feel like they ain't giving Demo enough carries because they don't want to pay this nigga.
No, I don't think so. One, he's coming off of injury. Two, he was not finding a hole yesterday. Just wasn't. I saw it as it happens. I said, ooh, he's getting hit every time he touches the ball.
One of the last couple drives was a lot of Demo on there. He was doing good.
Yeah, so no, I don't think that. And then the Khalil Herbert run, it was a lucky run because he got pulled toward the right side. Simple as that. So, no, yeah. I don't – they have a really good line. And the biggest rush – you take in Khalil Herbert's rushing, you take in Justin rushing for damn near 100 because he scrambled out the pocket. So, I'm not going to – it just wasn't a good game. And it just was – there was nothing available. You know, as much as people praise Braxton Jones, I just do not like him. Not as a person.
They like the story of Braxton Jones.
And not as a person.
Braxton's a cool guy. He's an easy dude to talk to. You want to talk to him, he's always down for an interview. I have no problem with Braxton Jones. I'm going to keep saying this. But he's a fifth-round draft pick. He should not be started.
He does not look good this season.
It's just that fucking simple.
He has been a turnstile. There's so many plays where he didn't even block an end. You saw a DB running up. He's, of course, so it's your cornerback blitz. Push him. He ain't going to try to do a move at the line. Ain't what he got. Push him.
Shout out to Juan. He says, Poles missed on every pick so far outside of Brisker. Outside of Brisker is looking shaky. And this is what I'll say about Vilas, though.
I still like Kyler. I still like Kyler.
I don't have a problem with Kyle either. But this is what I'm going to say about Brisker. Not Brisker, but
Doug Kramer, the injured reserve.
So I'm going to say about Vilas. Offensively, I liked what I saw. They need to use him more the way they've been using him. He has his speed. Use it. That's slant, all I'm saying.
Drag.
Arrow. Bro, how many times we slant? More fucking slants. It's like this team doesn't do shit to every other team in the NFL does.
Slants. It annoys me.
It's ridiculous.
Carson Wentz got at least 10 passes from slants. Slants. Drag route. Arrow route. Let him work. It's clear when he gets his hands on the ball, he still knows how to move around. Let him work.
Yeah.
If he's not returning, that's okay. That's okay. Let him catch. Let him be a gadget player and catch the ball and move. That's all you need him for. Why draft him and then not use him? Like, he's been healthy for several weeks now. Use the player. I don't understand what's – it's stupid. It's a situation where
– it don't make sense.
I would like to have got offensive-minded coaches, but these offensive-minded coaches are stupid.
But here's the thing. I don't care about the defensive, offensive-minded coach. Just hire experienced people. Now, what did I say? I was team Daboll all offseason. I said, Dave, that's who I wanted. That's who. Shout out my man 312 Darius, who apologized to me on Twitter because I told him I wanted Daboll. He's like, I want that fat nigga. Now, look what he's doing with the Giants. Now, by the way, the Giants are hustling backwards because they need to lose, because we all know they're not bringing Dan Jones back. But he has the team prepared. Scheme-wise, it looks better. Like, even look at Miami, bro. Look at the scheme, the offensive plays. It just looks smart. Look at the difference in the Niners' run game since Mike McDaniel left. That's offensive mind. And I'm not, you know, out on flu or whatever, but it's just like some stuff that's just done. Nothing with this franchise makes sense. Like, and I think that's the thing we saw from a lot of Bears fans. And I know a lot of Bears fans think the Bears media out to get the team, which is ridiculous. Do you understand how much trash fucking football these niggas have watched? I'm exhausted. This is my second year covering the team. This is your third. We exhausted. They've been covering this shit longer than us. So imagine how much bad football they got. And it's like the Bears make something that even the worst team in the NFL make look easy. The Bears make look hard. They won an entire game and scored 7 points. Like, what are we doing? This is remedial shit. And it's going to be a long 11 games, man. This is going to be – I wish – for if you're a Chicago sports fan, man, look, I wish I could tell you watch the Bulls, but the first time I'm going to see Zach go 105 and kick it out to Drummond for a three-pointer, I'm going to throw something. So it's like, you know, they'll be better. The Bulls are the best team in Chicago by default right now.
Yeah.
Both baseball teams are ass. The Blackhawks are rebuilding. I wouldn't be shocked if Kane and Tay is on another team by the end of the year.
Yep.
And the Bears are the worst team, maybe top five worst team in sports.
Yep.
So by default, in the sky, Candace Parker might be retiring.
Yeah.
So the Bulls are the best team by default.
So sky just probably like, the best team by default. They won a playoff series.
They didn't win a playoff series this year.
Didn't they?
No, they lost. No, they did win a playoff series. They lost in the second round, though.
Lost to the champs, right?
No, they did to the eventual champs, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sky the best then. But yeah, it's just bad, man. It's just like this is why I'm legit worried about.
The Bears
are
going to lose the rest of the games this year. Just,
I'm not going to go 0-11, but I will say they're not winning more than 11. I don't think they're going to win more than one more.
They will know the pain of being almost 0-17.
I think this team's going to be 3-14. I truly do.
One more win.
Yeah, I think one more win. You know what I'm saying? And they said, Jaleel said, I went to the first two games to see how bad it is. The person is frustrated. Look, man, if you pay for these tickets, man, God bless y'all. God bless y'all. I'd be exhausted and I don't pay for them. Like, it's just, my guy Mike was like, man, you have to go to them games. You'd be frustrated. He went yesterday and I hit him with the Denzel. Not funny anymore, is it? No, it ain't funny anymore. Not even a little bit. This team just takes so much out of you. And it's just, I don't get angry at it. It's just like, bro, it beats you down. Yeah. And I'm scared that Justin's going to get hurt because he's taking blows like the whole second half. Like even on the
it just reminds me of Matt Stafford in Detroit in those like first 5 years. And he was no, just reminds murdered. Me of
Jay Cutler in 2010.
Remind me of Matt Stafford in the first few years, brother. Matt Stafford was getting killed every game.
Remember that game that Jay got sacked 9 times by the Giants? 9. He got sacked 80 times in a year.
Yeah.
In 16 games, that's nuts.
That is.
And so it looks like that. And I don't know if Justin got the best knees ever, pause. But this is like his knees be turning every. He had the knees that D Rose should have had because he just don't be hurt. And then he'll go up there. And I think Justin is dealing with, like, I think he's handling the situation as well as he can. And last night on the game, on the game feed, they had wide open wide receiver cam. Like, this type of shit is going to keep coming to Justin because he's the quarterback of the Chicago Bears. Yep. And everybody's like, why do you keep putting the Bears on TV? And this is the thing I don't think people understand who not in Chicago. The Bears like the Knicks. No matter how bad they are, you're going to see them on national TV multiple times a season.
Yeah.
Because it's a big fan base. They are a cash cow. And when they move to Arlington, they're going to be even more of a cash cow. That's why I don't 100% buy that the McCaskies are never going to sell the team. Because this is going to take them to officially wealthy.
Yeah.
With the money they're going to make. So I don't 100% buy they're not selling the team. But, and this is why the fans, you was there at the game. Mike was there. It was loud. Packed crowd. Everybody comes out on a fucking Thursday. People got to go to work next morning to see this bum-ass team. We have a diehard fan base. You know what I'm saying? We have fans across the globe. If you look at the fucking London games, you know the Bears have a massive fan base in London just off the 85 team.
Yep.
Those members of the Ted Lasso crew cast who had on Bears fucking jackets at the game, given the only teams they know about out there in London. So imagine if they can just not fumble this and have Justin even be a top 10 quarterback, Justin even a number 8 quarterback in the league, this team is going to go, this franchise is going to go to heights we've never seen before. They just can't fuck it up. Yeah. And the worst thing about it is next year they got to make a decision on this fifth-year option. And everybody, and for those of you who say draft another quarterback, I'm going to tell you why that don't matter. If the system's broke, it don't matter who the fuck you bring in here. You can trade Justin for Patrick Mahomes today. Pat's not doing what he does in this system because he ain't going to have no time to throw. It's just that damn simple. There's no quarterback in the league who is going to do well in this shit system. And I just feel bad for him, man. I really feel bad for Justin. He said, I used to be watching the Bears 20 years, haven't seen a functional offense. Only 1 year, 2013. The first year Trestman offense. And then we just happened to have the worst defense.
What about that Josh McCown era? Like 10 games where niggas just started taking off.
It was better than it is now, but the actual only time I remember these dude niggas having a top 5 offense was 2013. They had the number 2 offense in the league.
Yeah.
With Jay, Alshon, B. Marsh, Forte. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? That was the last year for the offensive line got god awful. Mm-hmm. And this is stuff that the Bears do. Like, even if you go, this is a team that passed over Bruce Arians. This guy was offensive coordinator the year the Steelers won a championship with Ben Roethlisberger. And you take a CFL coach. So it really don't matter who the GM is. It don't matter who the coach is. Until George knew, until they get their head straight and know what the fuck they got to do, I'm worried it's never going to change. That's what I'm worried about. So do we have any voicemails? Because I really don't have nothing else to talk about. We don't have any. So I guess our fans have been beaten into submission too.
Well, it was a late game. So, and then, it is what it is.
It is what it is. But it's a mini bye week. The Bears are off for the next 10 days. They don't play again to October. You understand? You're happy I can watch football with no stress this week?
I'm not even probably going to watch on Sunday any football.
Oh, you got me, nigga. Bills Chiefs play on Sunday, nigga. I'm
talking
watching.
To one of our colleagues who's a journalist, been there for several years. He said, man, football kind of has become a job where, you know, it's my job to watch it, and the job I watch is terrible football. So sometimes I want to get away from it. I'm getting that move where I want to get away from football for a little bit. So I'm just going to take my time and probably just
watching the Bears has become a job. Watching the football has not become a job to me, but watching the Bears is definitely a job.
Mm-hmm.
100%. But so next week, we'll be back. I will probably do it on The game probably be late by y'all time when it goes. We'll probably do it on the 25th, the day after.
Yeah.
Which is the day for my birthday. Real nigga birthday coming up. But you know, to follow us on Twitter at Barbchair Scott. By the way, shout out to everybody in the chat. We appreciate everybody in the chat spending y'all Friday with us. We appreciate all y'all. So you know, follow us on Twitter at Barbchair Scott, at Flo's Andolini, at 79th and Hollis, at 79th A&D Hollis. Also, shout out to our guy Braggs. He gave us a shout out on the CHGO pod last night. So shout out to Braggs. Follow the Barbers Chair Net at Barbers Chair Net on Twitter and Instagram. Visit the bcnet.com. And yeah, man, we'll holler at y'all. Oh, yeah, patreon.com/Barbers Chair Network, man. So we'll holler at y'all, man. We out.